Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John and chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee called Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him must have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now it's time to welcome in Helen, who is our speaker this morning, to unpack our gospel for us.
Our Father, thank you for this glorious piece of scripture today from John's Gospel. And we want it, Father, to stir up our hearts this Lent as we follow you. Amen. Well, yeah, what a privilege. What a delight to speak about this passage from John's Gospel. It's actually so juicy. It's so full of juice that it would take hours to suck it dry, wouldn't it, really? I mean, I could give you a lovely sermon on the need for Jesus to be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. That's a good sermon. Or I could sing to you John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Or I could talk to you about the fact that there is no condemnation for us, friends of Jesus, which I think probably some of us need to hear. But I'm not going to do any of that. Well, not much anyway. I'm going to tell you the story of Nicodemus and his growing faith, because I thought, well, it's Lent, isn't it? And we're engaged in growing our faith in Lent in a very special way. And this seemed kind of relevant to me. Now, Nicodemus, who is he? Well, we've heard that he's a Pharisee, and that's a religious leader. He is actually on the very important and powerful council, Jewish council in Jerusalem, called the Sanhedrin. And now, a lot of those Pharisees who are a member of the Sanhedrin and serve there, are very, very jealous of Jesus. They hate him. They're jealous of him because he seems to be always undermining their sense of their own power, their sense of their own status, their authority. And he keeps on challenging their views on everything. And so many of them hate him, and they're looking for ways to destroy him. But Nicodemus is not like that. Nicodemus is searching for the truth. And he is he's completely coming to Jesus because he wants to see that if Jesus really is going to teach him more of that truth. He has seen the signs, wonders, or he's heard. We don't know really whether he's seen Jesus or he's heard about him. And he believes that through those signs and wonders that Jesus must come from God. He must be God's servant in some way or another. And he wants to find out more. Now, this is different. We know that Jesus despises people who always want a sign, and the people who said, "Give us a sign, and we might think that you're from God." Well, I mean, he's a sign himself. He actually is a sign from God, and it seems as if Nicodemus has plugged into that. He's recognized that. So that's really, really important, and he probably is attracted by Jesus' character as well. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Now, in John's gospel, he writes very, very symbolically. And we know, for instance, going at night means darkness. Remember Judas Iscariot, when he was at the Last Supper, and he goes out from the Last Supper to do his deeds. And John says, it was night. Judas was going out into the darkness, the spiritual darkness of his soul. Now, Nicodemus, it's not so bad because he's at least facing the light, but the fact that he's meeting Jesus at night means that he is in the darkness at the moment. Yes, he's asking the right questions. He's wanting to get towards the light. So he's got on the path of hope. And so he's scared, of course, of his colleagues finding out about his interest in Jesus, because you never know what might happen. So there's this sort of undercover meeting. And he is, of course, a respected and senior teacher, being a Pharisee. But my goodness, he's challenged and a bit humbled by Jesus, isn't he? He is even, it seems to be mocked, though I sort of choose to see that really as a kind of form of teasing, because later on in the passage, Jesus stops that and he's seriously teaching Nicodemus. So Nicodemus appears to be baffled. He can't really get it. See, he's a faithful Jew. Faithful Jews believe that they're children of Abraham. And how could then, therefore, what does Jesus mean when he's saying that he's got to be born again from above? He just doesn't get it. But the new birth that Jesus is talking about, we know about, because it's baptism. It's baptism of water and the Spirit, which brings new members into the family of Jesus, the kingdom family of Jesus. And new life bubbles up in them because of that baptism. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now, I'm guessing that of all the people online, probably most of us are baptized, and we'll have been baptized as babies with a sprinkle of water, maybe, or baptized as adults, maybe fully immersed, whatever. But we have been baptized, yes, in water, but also in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we have all been baptized by the Holy Spirit. So that means that new life is bubbling up. You know, we go down in the water and we're dead to sins and we're bubbling up with new life. That's what that means, which is really important. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is on the move. Breath like a breeze, like a fresh, strong breeze blowing where it will. Yes, she will, but he will. And poor old Nicodemus. Well, it's a kind of uncomfortable moment for the Nicodemuses of this world, who believe that they've got everything kind of right and tight. New stuff, new dangers, new risks. Now, although Nicodemus is challenged and puzzled by Jesus' teaching, note that he's still listening. This passage actually is quite long, and we have, first of all, Nicodemus coming at night and having this funny old talk about new birth and so on. And then Jesus keeps talking and keeps teaching Nicodemus. And that's an important example for us. We keep needing to ask the questions and listening to Jesus. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, he calls himself the Son of Man. That's Jesus' sort of how he describes himself. The Son of Man will need to be lifted up. This is the lifting up. Of course, it's the cross. And that's going to be a sign of God's loving purposes, so that salvation and eternal life can be gained through Jesus. Well, that's a big thing for poor Nicodemus to digest, because he's got to make a choice. He's got to decide, is he going to be for Jesus, believing and trusting that Jesus has the words of eternal life? Jesus is his saviour. Is he going to go yes for Jesus, or is he going to go like his colleagues? No, no. So he has a decision to make. Now, we can see later on in John's gospel how he's moved. We can see that this conversation with Jesus has had a profound effect on our Pharisee. Later, they're in Jerusalem now, and Jesus is teaching in the temple, and the temple guards have been set to watch Jesus by the Pharisees. And they're having a big discussion about this, a group of Pharisees, and Nicodemus is on the edge of that, or in that group. And the Pharisees are saying, well, temple guards, haven't you arrested him yet? Haven't you seen how he's speaking words against the law of Moses, how he's doing this, that, and the other? And Nicodemus challenges his Jesus-hating colleagues. And he says, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's doing? Now, this is a bold public move by Nicodemus, bringing with it all the risks that he felt before. But now he's doing it in public. So he's moving in his faith. And our final picture of Nicodemus is when he and his colleague, Joseph of Arimathea, who's also somebody who was wanting to worship Jesus, but doing it kind of undercover, now comes out. Joseph goes to Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and asks for Jesus's body after he's been died. And Nicodemus is part of that. He helps Joseph take down the body, and he has brought loads of spices, and they anoint the body, they wrap the body in linen, and then they go and lay the body in the tomb that has been provided by Joseph. Now, here's a man who is now standing in the light. He is absolutely for Jesus. He's decided that that's what he's for. He's a man growing in his faith. And it's the same for us, you know. Some of us may have been cradle Christians. We may have been cradle Christians growing in our faith, but then having a conversion experience later. Or we may have had no idea of Jesus until we had a conversion experience. And wow, bam, bam. It may have been like that for us. But actually, the growing part of faith, the maturing in faith, isn't wham, bam, I'm afraid. It's step-by-step process. And God, is very, very patient with us and persistent. He's always with us as we gradually open ourselves to more and more of Jesus' teaching, of his love, of his transforming power, And we become more like him. We come closer to him. We know him better and better. And I suppose Lent is the ideal time to give more of this process some deliberate thought and prayer, that we can come closer to him on our journey, just like Nicodemus did. We will hopefully all of us be engaged in our Lenten disciplines of self-examination, self-denial and fasting, of extra reading of scripture and meditating, and of praying, and perhaps taking up a new devotional practice. And that will all help us to grow spiritually as Nicodemus did, and be ready for the joy of resurrection on Easter Day. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the example of Nicodemus, who came from darkness and walked towards the light by listening to you, by staying with you. May that be our Lenten journey too. And grow us all, Father, so that by the time Easter Day comes, we will be ringing with alleluias in your name. Amen.